us to the Father, Yeshua.
America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 9/11 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This 9/11 let us humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are today continuing our sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government. This is part 6 in this series, and we have gone over a lot of different topics. If you've missed any of those, please go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com. Or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, where you can watch these previous videos. The primary election is right around the corner. In fact, on Tuesday, August the 20th, people will be voting. People right now, as I speak, are voting early voting right now. In the state of Florida, all across the state of Florida. We also wanted to go over the general election deadline so that you can know, so that you can be prepared for this. So vote-by-mail ballots will start to be sent out September 26th. The deadline to register to vote in the primary or the general election is October the 7th. And the deadline to request a mail-in ballot or a ballot by mail is October 24th. Mandatory early voting will begin October 26th. In some counties, it will be earlier than that, and Election Day is November 5th. And in addition to the races that will be on the ballot, including the presidential race in November, we also, in the state of Florida, will have Amendment 4 on the ballot. And Amendment 4, we will, by the way, we have already preached multiple sermons on Amendment 4. We'll get those on our website as well so that you can view those. But know that this, that Amendment 4 is a radical pro-abortion amendment that will allow abortion all the way up until the moment of birth. And we urge you to make sure, if you're not already registered, register and vote no on 4. I will be preaching a sermon where I'll go over all of the constitutional amendments, including Amendment 4. Again, I preached multiple sermons on that already, but we'll preach one that covers all the amendments that will be on the ballot. We'll do that before the general election. So one of the things that we do like to do, what we're doing is, first of all, we're encouraging you to study the Word of God. The Bible tells you to study. It tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this word, by the way, speaks not only to our individual life, not only to our family, not only to our church, but it also speaks to our communities, to our counties, our cities, our states, our nation, and all the nations of the world. The Word of God, and God is sovereign, and His law is to be applied. And so we're encouraging you to read the Bible, study what God says about the issues, study what the candidates say about the issues, and then vote according to biblical values. We do have voter guides available for a limited amount of counties in the state of Florida at floridavotesvalues.com. floridavotesvalues.com. You can go there. You can view the voter guides. If we don't have a local voter guide in your county, let us know. Get in contact with us. Let us know so that we can actually, so that if you want to help produce one next election cycle, either by volunteering, You might even be able, in some counties, you'll be able to even create one for the general election. But if you want to be a part of that, we've already had one person step up for one of the counties, and we'll be adding that county in the future. So that'll be good. That'll be a blessing, because really there's no other way you're going to get this information unless you were to call the candidates and personally interview them. That the questions that we ask are hard-hitting. They're based on biblical values, and we ask them to take a stand on these issues. So go to FloridaVotesValues.com. We also have links to a voter guide that covers state and federal races as well, and a voter guide for the judicial candidates. Some in some counties, there are judicial candidates that are on the ballot. So one of the things that we did talk about last week, we talked about it briefly, but we want to go over it again, is the Second Amendment. In addition to quoting from the Bible, we're also quoting from founding fathers that really just back up these principles and really show you how much the founding fathers cared about the Word of God and the influence of Christianity in our culture, in our government. Patrick Henry said this: whether this new government will prove a blessing or a curse will depend upon the use our people make of the blessing which a gracious God hath bestowed on us. If they are wise, they will be great and happy. If they are of a contrary character, they will be miserable. Righteousness alone exalts them as a nation. He's quoting Proverbs 14:34. Reader, whoever thou art, remember this, and in the spear practice virtue thyself, and encourage it to others. Thomas Jefferson said this: can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that those liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. So last week we did talk a little bit about the right to defend yourself and the right to bear arms. And we looked at Exodus chapter 22, verse 2. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. Now, obviously, they didn't have guns at that time, but we're looking at the Bible does authorize using lethal force to defend yourself, to defend your family, to defend your property. And this is something that you see in the Word of God. Exodus chapter 22, verse 2. That's part of the case laws of Exodus. Of course, the Second Amendment is in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And one of the things that you see from certain people in this country that want to undermine the Second Amendment is they will say, yes, but you know, that's talking about the militia. That's not speaking about the individuals owning arms. Well, one of the things that's important to do is to go to the actual founding fathers and see what the founding fathers said about the Second Amendment. And Noah Webster said this: before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom of Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws, by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be, on any pretense, raised in the United States. A military force at the command of Congress can execute no laws but such as the people perceive to be just and constitutional, for they will possess the power and jealously will instantly inspire the inclination to resist the execution of the laws which appear to them unjust and oppressive. So here Noah Webster is saying that the people in America at the time of the founding of this country, at the time the Constitution was ratified, at the time the Bill of Rights was ratified and the Second Amendment was written, he is saying that the people in the United States of America possessed greater ability to defend against a tyrannical government than a tyrannical government in America could have mustered. So the people themselves actually were better armed than the entire U.S. Army would have been armed. And so that gives you an idea of what the founding fathers thought about defending yourself and being able not just to defend yourself, but also being able to defend your country against tyrannical rulers and leaders. Rulers must also love liberty. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants." That passage, by the way, is inscribed on the Liberty Bell. Psalm 119, verse 45 says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. And one of the things that we do need to point out here is that true liberty only is possible when a people self-governs. So in order for me to be at liberty, it doesn't mean that I can just go out and do whatever I want to do. Certainly there are people that want to go out and kill people. There are people that want to go out and rape people. There are people that want to go out and steal from people. And certainly some of them do just that. And yet what is necessary is for me to restrain myself. And for me to be at liberty, I need to subject myself voluntarily to the law of God, to the precepts that God has laid out. I need to read the Bible. I need to meditate upon it. I need to ponder it. I need to mutter it. I need to abide in God's word so that I can be his disciple, so that I would know the truth, and the truth would set me free from sin, as Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. So it is vitally important that we actually look at the word of God, that we apply it to our lives, and that we self-govern. So as we seek liberty, it doesn't just mean going out and doing whatever we want to do. It means being free from a tyrannical government, being free to worship as we see fit, being free to produce as we see fit, as long as what we are producing or as long as what we are doing does not harm others or violate the commandments of God. Rulers must also support faith in the public square. This is a big one today. You will actually see quite a few times that people will bring up the First Amendment, and they'll say, well, there's a clear separation of powers and a clear separation of church and state. You probably have heard that phrase, a clear separation of church and or a separation of church and state. Well, here's what the First Amendment actually says: Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. So the phrase actually, separation of church and state, came from a letter. The Dansbury Baptist actually were concerned that Congress was going to make a particular denomination the official religion in the United States of America. And they wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, by the way, wasn't even in the United States when the Bill of Rights was passed. He wasn't a part of the Bill of Rights or the First Amendment, but they wrote this letter to him. He wrote back that the First Amendment had created a clear wall of separation. But what the First Amendment really does do is it actually means that Congress, first of all, shall not establish a religion. So, you know, Congress can't say, hey, the Catholic Church is going to be the official religion of America, or the Baptists are going to be the official religion of America, or the Lutherans, or the Methodists, or the Presbyterians, or the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, whatever you want to say out there, whatever group you want to say. Congress is not picking one and saying this is the official religion in America. But it also prohibits the government from prohibiting the free exercise of religion. The founders were clear that religion was necessary. And we've quoted from many of the founders throughout this series where they actually go out and speak on the importance of having Christianity, not just religion, but Christianity. And the idea that God is our creator and we are therefore subject to him to be supreme in our laws, to be supreme in what we are doing, to be supreme in what we believe, and to actually influence for the word of God and the Bible and prayer and the Ten Commandments to be a central part of America, because they do restrain evil. Benjamin Franklin, who was a signer of the Constitution, of course, he was also not only a signer of, but also the author of the Declaration of Independence, said this: only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. And this is one thing, as we talked about liberty, this is the flip side of that, is that we need to self-govern. We need to actually make sure that we are living according to God's commandments. Now, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled on basically the impact of Christianity in America. And they said this: no free government now exists in the world unless where Christianity is acknowledged and is the religion of the country. So even though there wasn't going to be one particular official religion in America, what was important and what was clear is that the word of God would go out, and that even Christianity would be the predominant religion in the United States of America. What do you have today? Well, you have today, we've taken God out of schools. We've taken the Bible out of schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments out of schools. In that court ruling where the Supreme Court ruled that the Ten Commandments couldn't be in schools, they ruled that if the Ten Commandments were in schools, that children might look upon it. They might venerate the commandments and follow those commandments. And certainly I think it would be a good thing if children were honoring their fathers and mothers, if they weren't stealing, if they weren't killing. We should be teaching kids to honor God and to honor each other and to respect one another, to not be deceitful. And so we need to actually return to and put the Bible back in the schools. The Bible was the primary at the founding of this country, at the time when the Constitution was ratified, at the time when the Bill of Rights was enacted. The Bible was the primary reading book in schools. Kids learned to read reading the Bible, and in fact, they learned to read so that they could read the Bible. And that goes all the way back to the Puritans, where the Puritans actually instituted public education to teach kids how to read so that they could actually read the Bible, so that they could know the Word of God, and that the Word of God could restrain them, could be a restraint against evil, so that we could then live in a country where we have liberty and where we have the freedoms that we have. But what happens when a nation turns away from God? What happens when we turn back and we don't keep His commandments? Well, the Bible actually gives us great warnings. And one of the things that we see is the warning in Deuteronomy chapter 8 to not become fat and well-fed. Beginning in verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, you have built beautiful homes, houses, and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish before, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And so there is a tendency, and God is warning the children of Israel against this tendency. There's a tendency when times are good to forget God. When there's blessings and abundance, there's a tendency to forget God. And you see, obeying God brings blessings. But in that blessing, there's a tendency of human beings to be complacent and to rest and to forget God and to not remember that it is God that has given us the blessings that we have. And then what happens with this complacency is that leads to disobedience. When you've forgotten God, you cast off restraint and you start violating his commandments. And then that disobedience brings God's judgment, brings God raising up oppressors to rule over the people, brings about God judging the people, and even bringing them into captivity and bondage. And in bondage and in the hard times and the difficult times, under oppression, the people cry out to God and God hears them. They turn back to Him. God hears them and raises up deliverance. And that brings about, they start to obey God. And that brings about God's blessings, and the cycle starts over again. You see this time and time again in the book of Judges. And one of the things that is clear that we need to remember is that we need to turn back to God. John Adams said this: "We have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our constitutions were made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other." And John Adams also said this: "It is religion and morality alone that can establish the principles upon which the freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is a virtuous people." We in this nation have been blessed by God as no other nation in the history of the world has been blessed, yet we have violated His commandments. It is time that we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, that He might hear from heaven, might forgive our sins, and heal our land. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 9-1-1 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This 9-1-1 let us humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Oh, that old rugged cross, so very much despised by the world, it still holds a wondrous attraction to me. For the Bible says that it was there that the dear Lamb of God left the glory that He had above to bear it on dark Calvary. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross,
the emblem of suffering and shame.